بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Very warm welcome to all of our beloved brothers tonight for the class on the Fiqh of Tahara. And inshallah tonight will be the 33rd class in the series that we've been having, and we'll be beginning a new chapter today. This chapter is on, it's called Bab Mash Al Khufain, the chapter on the wiping over the socks or the leather socks, inshallah ta'ala. And we will start by reading the first hadith in the chapter and the meaning, and then go over the commentary of the hadith, inshallah ta'ala. So let's start with the hadith in Arabic, and I'll read it in Arabic, and then the brother will read the translation, inshallah. عن المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه قال كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأهويت لأنزع خفيه فقال دعهما فإني أدخلتهما طاهرتين فمسح عليهما. حديث متفق عليه. The hadith is agreed upon. Okay, the translation of the hadith. Narrated Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahabi, once I was in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to perform ablution, wudu, and I reached down, Mughira, I reached down to take off his khufain, his leather socks. He said, leave them, for I have put them on while in a state of purification. He said, leave the khufain, don't take them off while he was making wudu, for I have put them on in the state of purification, while they were pure. Okay? So this chapter is entitled Masḥ al-Khufayn. Khufayn is the Arabic word for whatever, what is worn over the feet, something that is worn over the feet. Traditionally they were made out of leather. And so this chapter is related to what we were just talking about in the chapter of wudu. The reason that it's placed right after the chapter of wudu is because the wiping over the khufayn takes the place of the washing of the feet, which is one of the actions of the wudu. So in order to complete the chapter on wudu, we also, Ibn Hajar, the author, he added this chapter to talk about wiping over the socks, which is a replacement for one of the actions of what is done in the wudu. Now the wiping over the khufayn, the wiping over the socks, is a very important chapter in the books of fiqh. And the ulama, they say that it has been mass transmitted. Tawatur, it means so many sahaba narrated it that it's impossible that they all got together and lied about it. It reached this level where so many, some of the ulama, they said even 80 different sahaba, they talked about how the wudu, how the Prophet ﷺ, he wiped over the khufayn. And it's to such a great extent that the ulama, they said anybody who denies wiping over the two socks, the khufayn, they are not from the people of the sunnah. They are not from Ahlul Sunnah. In fact, they said it is a sign that a person is a follower of the sunnah that they wipe over the khufayn. And if anybody denies the wiping over the khufayn, this is a sign, a manifest sign that he is not from the Ahlul Sunnah. He is a rejecter of the sunnah. So many of the ulama have narrated, and so many of the sahaba have narrated the wiping over the socks. In fact, this has been narrated not only in the word of the Prophet ﷺ about wiping over it, but by his action. In so many cases, that Imam al-Karhi, he was one of the great imams, he said, I fear kufr for the person who denies wiping over the khufayn. Meaning that it's so strong that it's from the sunnah, that if anybody rejects this action, I fear that it reaches the level of kufr, that he's rejecting the actual sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how strong this particular act is. And what is interesting regarding the mas over the khufayn And those people who reject it, there's some people from the deviated groups who reject the wiping over the mas al-khufayn, and they give a number of arguments. One argument that you hear, or that some people say, and they say that the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that Allah says, well, if you stand up for prayer, then wash your face, and wash your arms up to the elbows, and wipe your head, and your feet. And your feet. So some of them, they said that this verse, it's clearly saying that you have to wash the feet. And so, any narration regarding the wiping over the socks, it must have been abrogated by this ayah. Because the ayah doesn't make mention of wiping over the socks. So they gave this argument that, or you might hear this from somebody who says we only depend on the Qur'an and we don't look at the sunnah, they'll say the ayah in the Qur'an, it says washing the feet, it doesn't make mention of wiping over the socks. So this is an argument. They said if there's any narrations about wiping the socks, they must have been abrogated, meaning they came before, there was some action that was done, and then a verse came down and it cancelled out that previous law or that previous action. This is called abrogation or nasakh in the Qur'an. For example, alcohol is permissible, and then later on a verse came and it abrogated, it made it haram. So they brought this argument. But the response to that, one of the Sahaba, he was actually asked about this. The Sahabi, he said that I saw the Prophet ﷺ wiping over his socks. His name was Jarir ibn Abdullah. Jarir ibn Abdullah, he used to wipe his socks. So then they asked him, they said, when you saw him wiping the socks, was it before the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah came down, or was it afterwards? When he did this, was it before the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, or was it sometime afterwards? And this Sahabi, he said, I didn't even become Muslim until after the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah was already revealed. Meaning that the verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah was revealed, then he accepted Islam, and then after that he saw the Prophet ﷺ wiping over his socks. So what does that show? It shows us clearly that this Sahabi, Jarir ibn Abdullah, he became Muslim and saw the wiping over the socks after the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah came down about washing. So wiping over the socks came down after the verse about washing the feet. So if the Prophet ﷺ wiped his socks after the verse came down, is it possible that the verse, the ayah in the Quran, is abrogating wiping over the socks? If he did it after something he did afterwards, it's not possible that the verse is abrogating something that he did later. A verse in the Quran, it can only abrogate a ruling that existed beforehand, not something that took place afterwards. So this Sahabi, he said, I saw him wiping his feet long after the verse came down, which means that it was still permissible. It's not something that has been abrogated. In fact, this Sahabi, the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah came down in the fourth year of Hijrah. In the fourth year of Hijrah. And this Sahabi, he became Muslim in the eighth year of Hijrah. So that means he saw it many years after the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So that argument is not accepted. In fact, the argument can easily be thrown away. Another argument, or another thing that is said by some of the deviant sects and deviant groups, they say that when we look at the ayah, it's very interesting. Allah says, when you stand up for prayer, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ wash your faces and your arms up to the elbows, and wipe your head and your feet up to the ankles. So the way the wording is in Arabic, Allah says, wipe your head and your feet up to the ankles. There's two ways of interpreting this ayah, or there's two qira'ats, or two ways that the ayah is narrated, and it could mean, it could be read in one way that says, when you wash your arms, you wipe your head, and then your feet up to the ankles, it could be understood that you wash your feet up to your ankles. Because in the beginning of the ayah it's talking about washing the feet and washing the arms. But the verb washing is not repeated over again. Allah says, wipe your head, and then He just says immediately, and your feet up to the ankles. So So it could be interpreted to mean going back to the first verb, which is washing your feet up to the ankles, or it could mean wipe your head and wipe your feet up to the ankles. Some people, they interpret it this way, and there is a qira'ah, وَأَرْجُلِيكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Those who know Arabic, this would mean that the wiping of the foot are the same verb. So some people, they took this qira'ah and they said, this is proof that all we have to do is wipe over the foot. We don't even have to wash the foot, because the ayah says, wipe your wamsahu bi ru'usikum wa arjulakum, right, the arjulakum al-ka'bain, and your feet up to the ankles. So this narration, this qira'ah, it means wash your feet. Another qira'ah, wa arjulikum al-ka'bain, means the wiping is for both the head and the feet. So some people, they took this reading and they said that means we can just wipe over the foot. We don't have to wash the foot at all, just enough to wipe the top of the foot. What is the response to this argument that they bring? There's two responses to that argument. One is that when we look at the actions of the Prophet ﷺ or the Sahaba, we never find that any of them ever wiped over the foot. They never wiped directly on the foot. They wiped over the sock, but not directly on the foot. So the action of the Prophet ﷺ throughout his life, that is a tafsir, an explanation of the Qur'an. If the Prophet ﷺ never wiped over his feet with his bare hand, that means that reading of the ayah is not correct. The actions of the Prophet ﷺ, they provide an interpretation, an explanation for the verses of the Qur'an. Another response to that reading of the verse is that what is meant when it says, and wipe your heads and your feet up to the ankles, this is called mujawara in Arabic, which means that two things are next to each other, so they share the same grammatical state, even though they don't share the same verb or the same action. This is, requires some study of the Arabic language, but just to give you an idea that the two parts, the head and the feet, are next to each other, so that reason they have the same grammatical state. This is called mujawara, although they don't share in the same verb. The head is wiped, the feet are washed. So this is another response to that argument. So in either case, what we find is that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is very clear, that he always used to wash the feet and or he wiped over the socks. There is a third way to understand it, a third way to accept that reading of the verse and have it go along with the sunnah, which is when we read the ayah and wipe your heads and wash your feet, this means when your feet are bare, when there's nothing on your feet. And if you read the ayah, when Allah says wash your face and your arms up to the elbows and wipe your head and wipe your feet up to the ankles, we can understand it that way, but meaning wipe your feet up to the ankles if they're covered with a sock. This is, we can interpret it. What does it mean, wipe your feet up to the ankles? It means wipe them if they're covered with a sock. If they're not covered with a sock, then you have to wash them. This is another way we can interpret the ayah and accept the qira'ah, wa arjulikum. Arjulikum ilal ka'bain bayna qawsayn, if they're covered with a khuf. This is one of the interpretations the ulama mentioned. Okay, so now there's another important aspect of, as we mentioned, that wiping over the khufain is a proof that somebody is a follower of the sunnah. If somebody doesn't look at the sunnah, he only goes by the Qur'an, or if he's a follower of one of the deviant sects, some of the, for example, the Shia and other groups, they don't follow wiping over the sock. So this is a sign that if they wipe over the khuf, it's a proof that they follow the sunnah. If they don't wipe over the khuf, it's an example and a proof that they do not follow the sunnah. And there's a story that the ulama mentioned about one of the leaders, one of the khulafa, his name was Hassan ibn Ali ibn Zayd. And he had a secretary, somebody who would write for him, and people accused him of being a Shia or following a certain group, so they put him in prison. So that secretary, that person, he wrote to the Khalifa and he wrote him a poem defending himself. And it's very interesting. He says, To Allah I complain about what has happened to me due to my love for a people I have been tested. And then he said, as a proof of his innocence, I wipe over my socks with the inside of my palms, even if they are dry on the inside. So he was trying to tell the Khalifa, no, I follow the Sunnah. I wipe over my socks. I'm not from those people who say we don't follow the Sunnah. So he gave this in a verse of poetry. I didn't put the Arabic, but it's a very beautiful poem. He's telling the Khalifa, I wipe over my socks. That means I follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Can I read?
And now, okay, so this is a proof. This is why the subject actually has more importance than that the ulama gave a lot of importance to this subject. In fact, Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he said something very beautiful also about wiping over the socks. He said, even if wiping over the socks is simply a leeway that Allah gives to make things easier, sometimes it becomes obligatory to do it if people deny the Sunnah. SubhanAllah, the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, he said that even though something might be an optional, it might even be a rukhsa, meaning a leeway, but he said it becomes obligatory to do it when people are denying that it's part of the Sunnah. SubhanAllah. So in order to establish the Sunnah amongst the people, when people reject a certain aspect of the Sunnah, he said we have to do it to make it known to the people that this is from the Sunnah. This is his deep fiqh, his penetrating insight, that to manifest the Sunnah, people should do things when they neglect certain aspects of the Sunnah or they deny it. Okay, so now we have certain questions about wiping over the socks, which we're going to talk about, inshallah ta'ala. One is it permissible to wipe over the socks or not? Number two, I'll give you a chance in 1 second. Number two is, how is the wiping done? First, is it permissible or not? Number two, how does one wipe over the socks? Number three, what are the conditions for wiping over the socks? Are there certain conditions of the sock? Does it have to be a certain thickness? Does it have to be a certain material? How far do you have to be able to walk? This is also something that is discussed amongst the fuqaha. What are the shuruj, or the conditions, for the sock itself to be wiped over? Number four, what are the timings? How long can you wipe over it? When does it begin? When does it end? What is the maximum period of time that you can wipe over? This is also something the ulama discuss. And finally, what are the types of impurity that we can wipe over the sock? For example, if somebody has a major impurity, like a ghusl, can you wipe over the sock? Or is it only for the minor impurity when he needs the wudu? This is also something they discuss. The ulama, they discuss this issue. And also, there is one issue about, is there wiping over the sock, is it only for wudu, or is it also for tayammum? Something that they brought up as well. And we'll discuss that, inshallah, when we talk about the wiping over the sock. Now let's come to the hadith that we are discussing today, inshallah ta'ala. The hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'ba. Mughira, may Allah be pleased with him, he says that I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as the shurrah of this hadith, they explain that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he woke up in the morning for Fajr, and he had it to answer the call of nature. And so what he would do is he would go far away from the people. If he was in an open area, he wouldn't answer the call of nature in a place that people could see him. He would go far away. So he went far away, and Mughira ibn Shu'ba, this noble sahabi, he grabbed some water, and he said, I followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he wanted to give him the water so he could make wudu and take care of his answering the call of nature. So he said, I stayed away from him until he finished, and then he came forward with the water in order to give it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he came, again, this was in the 8th year. This was in the Battle of Tabuk, the 8th year of Hijra, 4 years or 5 years after the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. He said, I came here and I followed him with a container of water. And so I began pouring it so that the Prophet ﷺ, he can make his wudu. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he tried to wash his arms, but his sleeves were too tight, so he put them under his thobe, and then he started washing on his arms. And so, after that, Mughira, he says, when he got to the part of the wudu of washing his feet, Mughira said, I went down to take his khufs off. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, leave them on. And then he explained to him the condition that will make it permissible to wipe them. He said, I put them on when the feet were pure, when the feet were in a state of purity. He explained that to Mughira. So here we see a few things we learn from this beautiful hadith. One is that the eagerness of Mughira to serve the Prophet ﷺ and to help him to do the wudu, and that it's permissible for a person to help another make wudu, especially if that other person is a person of rank, and to serve him, and he wanted to take his khufs off to help the Prophet ﷺ wash his feet. However, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, leave them, for they are pure. Now, to complete the story, the Prophet ﷺ and Mughira, they came back to the people. And what happened was the time for Fajr had become very late, to the point where almost the Fajr time was over, the sun was about to rise. The people who were waiting for the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, they had to make a decision. They were discussing amongst each other. They said, should we wait for the Prophet ﷺ to get back? If we do that, we might miss the time for Fajr. Or should we appoint somebody to go forward and we'll pray on our own without the Prophet ﷺ? So they had to discuss this issue. And if we look at this discussion that they had, we see that it was one where their heart, their emotions said, let's wait for the Prophet ﷺ. His prayer, there's so much more reward, we should wait for him. But according to the reason, and according to their understanding that Allah has made salah obligatory on us, and He's made certain times for the salah, we have to pray. We cannot miss the time that Allah has given for this prayer. So they had to make a choice. And this is something interesting that the ulama mentioned, that oftentimes people, we have points in life or decisions to make in life where the emotions pull us one way and the reason and the thought takes us another way. And the correct thing is to follow what is reasonable, what is correct, and not follow the emotions that people have. And the Sahaba, when they discussed amongst each other, they felt emotionally they wanted to wait for Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, even if they missed the Salah. But when they reasoned it properly, they said, no, Salah is obligatory upon us at this time. We don't know what happened to the Prophet ﷺ. Maybe something happened to him and he's busy. Let us establish our prayer. And they chose a Sahabi, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, to go forward and lead them in the Salah. And Abu Hassan al-Nadawi, he actually points this as an example. He said that we as an ummah, as a community, we have to choose the logical and the reasonable approach and not follow the emotions when it comes to important decisions in life. And he actually accepted this as one of those cases where the Sahaba, they realized that. As for a lesson from this part of the story, and we'll finish inshallah with this part, we see that when the Prophet ﷺ came back, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was leading the Sahaba, and they had already completed one rak'ah. When they came back, Mughira, he told Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he said, come back. The Prophet ﷺ is here. You should come back and let the Imam al-Ratib, the appointed Imam, lead the prayer. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he was there waiting, and Mughira wanted Abdurrahman ibn Auf to come back. And this is what the ulama, the fuqaha, they point to this, and they say that this shows you that the right of the Imam, the appointed Imam, to lead the prayer is even during the prayer. If the appointed Imam, he comes to the masjid and the other people have chosen another person to lead the prayer, he has the right, the haq, to go forward and lead the prayer, even if they already led part of the prayer. Even if part of the prayer has already been completed, the appointed Imam, he has the right, the haq, to go forward and continue leading the people in the prayer. Then after this is over, after the prayer is over, the Imam, if he came late, he completes what he prayed, and the rest of the ma'mum, they sit and they wait in their position until the Imam finishes what he missed, And then in the end, they make taslim together with one taslim. This is the fiqh that we learned from this part of the hadith. However, one second, after the Mughira told Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, come back, the Prophet ﷺ is here, the Imam Ratib is here, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, no, leave him where he is. So this also shows us that the Imam, he has the right to appoint somebody else to lead the people in prayer. And this is also something that is permissible. If the people, they have chosen another person to lead the group in prayer, then it is allowable, it's for the Imam to leave those people in front and lead the prayer. The reason for this is that the choosing of the Imam should be based on the agreement of all the people. If all the people, they agree and they choose somebody, then it is acceptable for that person to lead them in prayer. And a point here, which is very important, is that the ulama, they say that when we look, even in Masjid al-Nabawi, it says, choose your Imam carefully. Choose your Imam carefully because he is your delegate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one representing or leading you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So choose a good person to lead you in the prayer. The Imam, he says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, lead us to the straight path. Everybody says, Ameen. So that person who's saying the dua, lead us to the straight path, he should be the best of the people, or he should at least be somebody who is righteous, who is of a rank, is of a level to make that dua, and the people say Ameen behind him. This is important, to choose a good person to lead the people in prayer. Also, what we learn from this hadith is that when the people, they said, they made their salam and they saw the Prophet ﷺ praying behind them, they were shocked. They said, how can we pray and the Prophet ﷺ is in a row behind us? How can this be? How did we pray and the Rasulullah ﷺ is behind us in prayer? And they felt very bad, but the Prophet ﷺ, he said, it's okay, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll never take the soul of a prophet until he has prayed behind one of his ummah. Allah, he never takes away the soul of a prophet until he has prayed behind somebody from his ummah. So he told him, don't worry, this was something that Allah wanted, so that somebody else was there to lead, and the Prophet ﷺ prayed behind him, and he assured the people that there was no harm for him having prayed behind them. And there's other lessons from this part of the hadith which we'll talk about inshallah next time, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So we ask Allah to accept from all of us inshallah and bless you. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We had a couple questions, so first we'll take the question from a brother here.
Yes. You just said that, you know, you had to recite some of the parts which you were, and I guess you were going to describe it, you know, then I'll ask that question, because, you know, it was regarding when you said about socks.
Yes.
Is it
yes.
About the socks or about the leather, you know?
Yes. This is actually, there's a lot of details. We're going to look at it a little bit more detail. I don't want to give a rush answer. We'll look at, you know, what the different fuqaha, the different ulama say, and give a complete answer. That way you'll be on complete clarity on that question.
That's why I mean quite, you know.
Yes. Yes, inshallah. Maybe next week or the week after we're going to talk about those, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, brother over here, you wanted to ask a question?
I wanted to read.
Want to read? Okay, inshallah. Next time you can read it again, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, may Allah bless you. Ask, inshallah. Say this.
Just one more interpretation, I think, of the ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah.
Yes.
It's because of the sequence that say it is because of the sequence. Faith and masal, the head, and then worship.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It has come in between because
that's
of
right.
The sequence.
Yes. There is a fine point in Arabic grammar where Allah says, Wamsahu bi, the letter ba, bi ru'usikum. The letter ba, as you know, it makes the word after it majrur. So the next, wa arju likum. So if we have the kasra on the lam, arju likum, this means that the foot is connected to the same verb as the head, which is وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُسِكُمْ. But if it's أَرْجُو لَكُمْ with a fatha on the lam, then this means that this object, the feet, is connected to وَغْسَلُوا وَجُوهَاكُمْ. So you see the fatha or the kasra on the word أَرْجُو, it connects it to either of the two verbs. And there's a qira'a أَرْجُو لَكُمْ and there's a qira'a أَرْجُو لِكُمْ. So both of those
keeping in mind the strong sunnah of Rasulullah.
Yes. The sunnah is what clarifies the which of these qira'at is more correct or more authentic. And also we can accept the other qira'ah, which says wipe the foot, but while interpreting that it means wiping it while there's a khuf on the foot. This is one way of accepting that qira'ah, that even the Qur'an itself is establishing the wiping over the sock. So the wiping over the khuf is in the Qur'an as well as in the sunnah according to this way of understanding the ayah, which is a wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allowed these qira'at, then they show us more meanings in the Qur'an al-Kareem. However, we shouldn't be somebody who only looks at the Qur'an. We should use the sunnah, and we can look at the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, and it clarifies for us, inshallah, the meaning of the ayah. Any other questions, inshallah? Anybody have? Yes, brother.
So why need to why we take out the soft and wipe the feet and put on soft again?
Wiping over the foot directly?
Yeah.
Wiping over the foot is what some of the misguided sects, they used to do that. And they try to use the verse of the Qur'an as a proof for that. But what we were just talking about actually shows why that is incorrect. One is that the Prophet ﷺ never did it, so the sunnah proves that that is not correct. And number two is that the verse in the Qur'an, when it says wipe the feet, it can be understood to mean wipe it when there's a khuf on the foot, but not wiping on the foot directly. The foot is not to be wiped directly. If that were the case, we would have seen it in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. But the sunnah makes it very clear. The Prophet ﷺ, there's no narrations ever that he wiped the top of the foot. He only wiped over the leather sock. And it's a rukhsa, it's a dispensation, which we'll talk about, that Allah, He made certain leeways in the Sharia to make things easier for people. This is one of those leeways, inshallah. We'll talk about it. I'm sure I know the brothers have more questions, but inshallah, I don't want to rush the subject, inshallah. I want to give you the complete answer, so there's no more, doubts about it, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Jazakallahu khair.